Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here with me.
Hey.
And first thing we wanted to let you guys know is that we're actually taking a break after this episode. This is our last episode for the spring of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are already excitedly planning podcasts for September when we return. So this is just like last summer. If you guys have been around for a while, you know, we took a few months break from the podcast episodes only just so we could enjoy our families just like you guys and rest and get revved back up for more wonderful content next year.
And of course, we're not going away completely though. So don't worry. No. You can still get your Risen Motherhood fix. We have the blog will be running all summer. We also have lots of social media content lined up. And I don't know, do we have anything else, Emily? That's kind of the main two.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're definitely still going to be out there engaging, sharing stuff.
Instagram stories. Go find us there. We've been trying to get Facebook stories to work, but I've been having some struggles with it. I don't know. So we'll see if we get that fixed. But we hope you guys will join us throughout the summer and look for us to return in September. But with that, we want to get to the show.
Yeah. Laura, I just remembered something funny I was going to tell you. So last night, you remember how we had the kids record the intro for the AUA show? So my husband, Brad, is like, of course you know Brad. He's your brother. I'm talking to you like you don't know who he is.
For the listener's sake.
He's like, the weirdest thing happened. We were driving the other day and the boys were like, I have a new podcast I'm starting, Dad. And he's like, what? It's called The Worst Mom in the World. So the line we had them say over and over again was like, when you're the worst mom on the planet from the interview. And so what they got is that Mommy and Aunt Laura do a podcast called The Worst Mom in the World, and they want to be on it.
That is awesome. Oh, man. I love it. I love that that's probably what they're going to be telling, like, the grocery store people. And
I was like, no, that's not what the podcast is called.
It might be how we feel sometimes, but it's not what it's called. Yes.
So speaking of that, I think it's just been really funny to talk with people in real life about what it is that we do.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
In terms of ministry.
Here we go.
And because we're talking about evangelism, I told Laura this story last night, actually, that I was stopped at a therapy appointment and a lady overheard me talking about this book update. Somebody was asking me about it. And she said, oh, what's your book on? And I'm like, it's on motherhood in the gospel. I was like, I had my voice changed. Like, I got all like weird and awkward. And it was like, I coughed out the words like the gospel. And I felt so dorky afterwards. And I just was like, why do we get so weird about that? Why do I get so weird about something so simple that it's not threatening? Like, it's a perfect opportunity for me to talk clearly about Jesus and the things that I just love so much, but it can feel so awkward to share the gospel with people.
Totally. I hear you. I think it's hilarious when people ask me, oh, so what do you do? And I, you know, I don't know if they're a believer or not, but they're somebody new. And I'm usually like, I run a pod ministry Christian. I don't even know. You know what? It's all coming out in a jumbled mess. And Emily and I have actually talked about this a few times of like, we speak so freely to Emily's closet about Jesus. And it's like, we are bold and brave. We're behind these mics. We have, and even like going into our safe community at Risen Motherhood on social media or different things like that, like where we just feel like, oh, generally we know this message is going to be received. It's so easy and so free. But then you get to a point where you don't know how it's going to be received. And all I can do is like, I don't know, have fear of man completely where I just am thinking about, well, how do I look? And I don't want to make them uncomfortable or I don't want to be uncomfortable. And,
or like, do they even know what this is?
Yeah. They probably might not even know what a podcast is. And I'm worried about the word Christian. It's like, come on.
Yeah. I think for me, what's a big struggle is this idea that I can kind of talk Bible study and prayer all day and feel like, oh yeah, those are, you know, disciplines that are consistent in my life. But when I think about the simple fact of like sharing the gospel, evangelism, do I do that as frequently as, you know, I probably should? No. And why is that? Like, I feel like it's one area of my own personal spiritual life that is really challenging mm-hmm. and something I wish I was more passionate about in my everyday life.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, just to let you guys know, if you're a mom at home who's wondering why is it so hard to share the gospel, Emily and I, we do it all the time, and we still find it to be incredibly hard to do it in our everyday life. And I think there's a lot of reasons for this, right? I mean, there's the element of our family has just a lot of needs that feel urgent, or they kind of feel all consuming. And so it can take a lot out of us just to love those in front of us or invest well in front of us, or even just being tired. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's something that is a real thing, but also can be kind of used as an excuse to host someone that maybe you don't know very well, or feel like, I'm already so physically and emotionally drained, and now I'm going to go talk to this person who's mm-hmm. kind of emotionally draining for me, maybe. So those can be definite real hindrances.
Yeah. And I know for me too, there's this element of like not knowing where to start. I maybe see like missionaries or people who are church planters, and I'm like, oh, great, that makes sense. But I don't always know what it looks like in my own context, how to like meet more unbelievers without being totally awkward, or just kind of constructing a situation mm-hmm. that's yeah. not real. And so it can be a barrier just to think outside of the box mm-hmm. and see what's right in front of me.
Right. Or maybe past efforts, like Emily and mm-hmm. I were just sharing, like the times where we do kind of feel like we want to be brave and get out and do it. Maybe something, it's failed. Mm-hmm. Maybe we felt really embarrassed, or maybe we were rejected. Definitely things like that have happened to me in my past that makes me just feel like, wow, it's not even worth it. Like I just, mm-hmm. I don't want to go through that emotional toil.
Mm-hmm. Or I think just feel uncomfortable talking yeah. about God and the gospel. I mean, there's an element of fluency in it that really only comes as we practice and as the things of the Lord roll off of our tongue in everyday conversation. And even if they do, it can still be challenging because the language you might use with an unbeliever to talk about the gospel is probably a little bit different than what you may use at church, just in terms of understandability. And so it's definitely, there's a lot of barriers, mm-hmm. but still very important.
Yeah. Well, bouncing off of what you said, mm-hmm. Of just feeling like you need to have a robust theology, or like getting nervous about getting into like some kind of theological argument, you know, where somebody yeah. maybe wants to pick a hole, and that can be really daunting. But you know, the reality of the gospel, it's what we talk about here on every single show at Risen Motherhood. You can tell it a lot of different ways with different words, but as long as you have that essence in there, then what's great is that all you have to do is be able to explain how God did that for you. You can tell your story within that context. That's all you need to really know to share the gospel. And I think that's what, if you're feeling like, oh, I'm scared to do this because I don't have the right words, or I don't know how to frame it up, we're going to get to kind of talking a little bit deeper about what to do if you're feeling that way. But just remember that, like, that's really what it is. That is sharing the gospel. If you know that story, if you know the story of how God saved you from your sin and death, then you know how to share the gospel.
Yeah. And I think the gospel then transforms us and our lives and changes our hearts. So if we are extremely grateful for that, and we have truly been transformed, and we know the hope that we have forever, that is going to make us want to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is the first and greatest commandment. And it's going to propel us towards the second commandment, which is the Great Commission, going out and making disciples, loving others in the name of Christ. And that is really where this evangelism piece comes into play, that if he's done this for us, then we want to go to the ends of the earth and tell everyone, because the reality is everyone is going to live forever. What is the reality of their forever going to be, though? Is it going to be with God, where he's going to make all things new and restore everything, and there's going to be joy? Or is it going to be apart from God, where there's going to be, you know, eternal punishment and sadness and weeping and gnashing of teeth? And so if we really believe that, then there has to be an element of us telling that. There's a verse in Romans that talks about Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And he also goes on to say that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we definitely have that commission as believers to help people hear the good news. It's great news.
Yes. Yeah, so if it's such great news, what you'd hope is that this would flow out of you, out of your joy. But the reality is we live in the already, but not yet, which means we still have our sin nature in us. And so we end up being self-focused, afraid of rejection, afraid to be persecuted for our faith, or we're just like self-focused with our own needs. You know, we're thinking about just what's right in front of us rather than the eternal. So we know that these things happen and that we have these moments like Emily's before where she's like, the gospel. And we all have them, but that doesn't mean it has to be the pattern or the future of our life, that we can continue to grow in holiness, that as we get to know Christ more, as we grow in our Christian walk and we fall more and more in love with him, that joy really does start to overflow and that we are never stuck in where we're at. So we can just remember that the more that we dwell on God's grace, the more it changes our hearts and the more it changes our actions and our words.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that can kind of take the pressure off when we're thinking about this is realizing that salvation belongs to the Lord. And it is ultimately him who is sovereign over hearts and people being able to understand and receive the gospel and put their faith and their hope in Christ. I think I always have to remember the parable of the sower, and like, we need to be a sower and be casting out the seeds of the gospel, but we don't always know what people's hearts are like. We don't know if the cares of the world are going to choke it out. We don't know if, you know, hard times are going to cause people to fall away. We don't know, but we are still responsible for sowing those seeds. And God is who gives the growth.
Amen. Amen, Em. So we want to talk through a couple of common myths or pitfalls. These are things that Emily and I have fallen into at different moments in our lives. So no, we're preaching to ourselves here. But the first thing that I think a lot of us, especially moms who are at home or at home, you know, generally during the day, we kind of think to ourselves, oh, I'm pouring out everything that I have to my own at-home mission field. And so we stop looking outwardly, we stop looking at the needs of those around us because we feel like, oh, we're already participating in the Great Commission. I mean, we have our little children, and it's true. Our children are our mission field. That is a true element, and we are to raise them to know and love Jesus, and we are to share the gospel to them. But at the same time, when we make that task so important, then we leave no time for unbelievers or to evangelize with other people. And really, in reality, evangelizing to other people, seeing the needs of others, that's part of our witness to our own children. And so we need to kind of have both of those things, not just saying, oh, you know, I'm taking care of my kids. And so they're becoming Christians, but it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Someone else will care for that.
Yeah. And like Laura was saying, it is such a good opportunity. It doesn't mean like, it's not an either or, like I have to go out and then like leave. It's like, no, bring them alongside. Yeah. Part of training our children is having them see us care for the lost.
And we have a couple shows on this.
Yes.
We'll list them in the show notes, but it's like, we don't remember the titles. This is how I feel like when I evangelize. I don't remember the words.
Totally blanking. But the flip side to that is sometimes we can see the mission field as being primarily out there. And so in an effort to reach people in the gospel with good intentions, we may serve and serve and serve and be away from our home and be away from the people who may need us right there. And we are like, yes, we're reaching people with the gospel, but we're forgetting our own unreached people group in our own house who also needs to hear the gospel, who we have tremendous influence over. And so it's, again, not an either or, but I think we just have to be cautious about not falling into either of those ditches, thinking it's all out there and neglecting the mission field in our own home, or it's all in here and I don't need to do anything in terms of reaching my neighbor.
So another one would be that you view your life as a witness. So this makes a lot of sense because we are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And so often our witness can be the fact that, you know, maybe you don't swear or you dress modestly or you're not cheating out your coworkers or your company. Your children are obedient and they seem to respond to you. And there's this element that you look like a Christian to the outside. But the problem with that is the fact that the reality is, if you don't give words, if you don't explain why you're different and why you do things differently, you're nothing more different in the world's eyes than someone who is morally upright. We have to remember that in order to reach the hearts of another person, it often requires communicating the reason why you're different instead of kind of deep down hoping like, oh, I hope someone will walk up to me and ask me about Jesus.
Yeah. And one thing Laura and I were talking about as we were prepping for this show, a really practical thing that has helped us in this, like, oh, I want my life to be a witness, is to let people know really early on in a relationship when you meet them that you are a follower of Christ. And then as they see your life, as you interact with them, as they see, oh, this person really cares about me, this person really wants to know what's going on in my heart, and they are really gracious, and whatever those things are, they have a context and a framework for knowing that's in light of your belief in Christ. So that can be a way to kind of get around that, that pitfall.
Well, and it makes it way easier later in the relationship if you want to go deeper with them or talk about stuff. At least for me, I'm like, okay, they already know that I'm different, and they already know that I follow Christ. And so it's way more easy, I think, than like, oh, I've known you for 10 years and you have no clue I'm a Christian. So that's embarrassing.
Why are you bringing this up now? Didn't you love me before? And then another one, this is kind of modern, but I think there is this element of like social media bio evangelism where maybe your profile is like mom of three kids, loves Jesus and coffee. It's kind of like our today's, you know, 2018's way of putting a fish on the back of your car.
Ooh, I like that little Ixus action. I forgot about those.
So I think the truth is like, yes, it is great to acknowledge online that you are a follower of Christ. Like, I don't think anyone would say, oh, that's a bad thing.
No, it's not.
But I think the flip side to that is, one, sometimes our profile shows that we actually have a different functional God and that we actually are worshiping or like living out something completely different. And that can be very confusing to people who are seeing Jesus saves in our profile, but it looks like we're trusting in something else to save us as we're posting different articles or we're posting pictures. And then another element is just that we use that as an excuse to not go out and meet people in real life and to share the gospel with our neighbor across the street or to invite a coworker over to our house for dinner because we're like, nope, I'm cool. I got the evangelism box checked. It's not an element of what's the least I can do to be witnessing. It's no, I really genuinely want to share the gospel with people, not just put the fish on the back of my car or the Jesus in my social media bio.
Okay, so we've kind of started talking about all of these pitfalls. So now a little bit of encouragement about, hey, here are some ideas for how to share the gospel or get started. Hopefully you're thinking, okay, I want to do this. This is something that I've been convicted to do. So the first thing to kind of start with is when was the last time you did share the gospel with someone, even if it was just your own children? I shouldn't say just your own children. That's important. And why is it if it's been a long time for you?
Yeah. So some ideas, if you are wanting to say, I haven't shared the gospel in a while, I want to get more regular in this, is to pray for a greater desire for that, to practice in your own home with your own children. What a wonderful opportunity to, one, expose them, and two, get all your goofy words out. And then three, just to think about things in your life that are a good jumping off point to talk to new acquaintances or coworkers or anyone else that you're going to come in contact with about Jesus.
Yeah, this is one of those that has been really helpful for me. I know when we were in the adoption process, people would always ask me, why are you adopting? You know, believers, non-believers, it's a very natural question. And I remember the first few times I got asked by a non-believer, I left God out of the equation. I confess to all of you on the podcast that I just was kind of like giving some of these surfacey answers and some statistics. And while they are valid and true and definitely help convince my husband towards that path, I was like, no, the number one reason I'm adopting is because of my own adoption from God. And that was really convicting for me as I walked away from that. And so I rehearsed it at home of saying like, what is a natural way? How can I get comfortable with the language to talk to anyone about adoption and how that intersects with my Christian faith? And so it was just a natural door. And these days my daughter has special needs. And so a lot of people ask, oh, how's your daughter and what's going on? How are you processing it? And that's another great chance where I have kind of in my own time thought through, this is how I can share the gospel through my daughter's story or through how God's working in my life in this situation. And it's become a lot less scary because I kind of know what I'm going to say. And so maybe thinking through some of those things in your own life, as Emily was saying, what's already happening now that you can use as a springboard to naturally share the gospel, or even drop in that nugget of like letting people know you're a Christian, even if it's not this big, robust, this is the gospel, but you feel like, oh, I've sprinkled in the fact that like my life is different. I live differently, or I make decisions based on my faith.
And so another thing we can think intentionally about is who is in our immediate sphere of influence. This may be a parent, of course, children. I don't want to ever skip over that. Our own parents, in-laws, people who are very good friends, a coworker that you see every day, maybe even extended family, like just considering like sometimes we overlook those people and we're, you know, we're like thinking halfway on the other side of the world when we have somebody we see, you know, three times a week that doesn't know Jesus that we could really just invest more intentionally in. So go ahead and start praying for that person. Think about ways that you can remember them or encourage them or really foster a relationship with them that makes them feel genuinely loved, that is different and redemptive in a way that no one else is reaching out to them.
Yeah, this takes a lot of intentionality. Mm-hmm. One show that does come to mind for me that I remember the title of is Hospitality in the Little Years, episode 55. So definitely check that out. That one's a pretty easy one. And then Serving Others Right Where You're At, episode 43 would be helpful in this, I think.
And then the final one, I guess, especially for those of you who feel like I'm at home a lot, I'm with my kids all the time, I don't have any of these people, I would just challenge you to think about, like, are there people though that you see pretty regularly? Like, do you have take anybody to therapy? Do you go to certain doctor's appointments over and over again? Are there teachers that you see? Is there a grocery delivery person that you see frequently? A barista, a mailman, a hairdresser, a nail tech, a house cleaner? Like, think about all of those people just in everyday life that you see. Can you be intentional as you are doing that? I know one thing we try to do every year is send out Christmas cards to a lot of these people that we may see, you know, 2-3 times a month, and write a sweet note and just say, we pray for you. And we're really thankful that you do this in our lives. And it's like, I don't know what difference that makes, but it's just one small thing you can do when you aren't sure how to foster deeper relationships with unbelievers in your life.
Yeah, I've got a friend who I know via Instagram on the internet, but she leaves gift cards and a note for her UPS person every Christmas.
Oh, that's sweet.
I know. I love that. And I was like, I got to do that. So, you know, there are ways, again, just she just tapes it to the door. I'll try to link to her Instagram post about it because it was like super inspiring and really easy. So anyway, what basically final words for all of you moms out there? Know that you are not alone in this being a little bit daunting, a little bit scary, but also know that God gives you all that you need. He promises that he will care for you, that he will be near to you. And even if you feel like you tried it and it failed miserably, or you didn't have the perfect words, or you feel a little bit embarrassed by it, trust that God's word won't return void to you. And that as you make diligent efforts to try to share the gospel, like, God honors that, and that he can, I mean, mm-hmm. He opened a donkey's mouth. Let's remember that. Like, he can work with a donkey. He can work with you.
So. Yeah. And final, two things that just came to mind. One is, expect that this is going to be costly. So I don't think we said that overtly, but I think sometimes we get in our little comfort zone and we're like, I want to share the gospel, but not in a way that is going to cost me.
As long as I know they're going to just like totally receive yes. Jesus in that moment, I'll share yes. it.
Spreading the good news of Jesus is costly. We do a whole show about that. And two, we have a printable on our website that you can use to share Risen Motherhood with people, with moms in your life.
Good idea.
If you're like, I don't know quite how to share with this mom about Jesus, but I'm going to have Emily and Laura do it through the podcast. Here's this thing that I've really been enjoying. And we hear that from a lot of you guys, that you're sharing Risen Motherhood with other moms. Hopefully they don't come back and listen to this and feel really awkward.
Tell them to skip the last show.
But that this can be a way to start conversations. So we hope that you can download that little, is it a note card?
Yeah, well, there's like a 5x7 size, and there's like a flyer. Yes. You could just pin up all over your town if you wanted to, no problem. So, okay, we got to wrap it up. We are hitting time. We've usually been a lot better about this, but we went over, I'm pretty sure, today. We'll see. But if you want to find any of the stuff that we've mentioned today, please check us out at risenmotherhood.com. That's where our show notes are found. We talk about them on every show. We post lots of links and resources, so hopefully we'll have some stuff there that you can check out. Further articles, get more inspired, and maybe find some new tips and tricks also for sharing the gospel with those in your life. And of course, find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Risen Motherhood. And we'll see you in September. So have a great summer break, everyone.
Yes. See ya.